morning. I hope you're happy to be in worship this morning. You have me and not Jimmy this morning, whether you like that or not. That's the way it is, I guess. But Jimmy, this is the fourth year in a row that I've got to preach after the auction. It's kind of neat. It always is an exciting thing to get to tell you how the auction is. But before I want to do that, church, praise the Lord. Amen. Is he not good? I don't even have to tell you what he did at the auction for you to know that the Lord is good. Amen. Why is he so good? Because he never fails. We just sung that in the song. He never fails, church. He's worthy to be praised. Why? Because death is defeated. The King is alive. Amen, church. Amen. He is alive. Our God is not dead, but alive. And he lives in each and every one of you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's given you his Holy Spirit. He's worthy to be praised this morning. And let me tell you, the auction, we didn't have quite as many people as what we wanted. A lot of people had to cancel for various reasons, good reasons. Had to cancel. I think we probably had just over 100 last year. And we had maybe 75 people this year, so not quite. So we're like, we're probably going to do a little less, but we actually did a little more. Amen. Praise the Lord. We did just over $27,000 at the auction. Amen, church. Amen. The Lord provides. He's always provided. You look around and you say, Lord, how can you do this? How can you possibly do these ministries? How can you possibly feed the people in Huntington every single day? How can you feed them for lunch? Lord, how can you provide a place for women? How can you provide a place for men? And how can you provide a future place for children? And the list goes on, because the Lord is good, church. And if he's called us to do it, there could be 5 people in this church and the Lord will provide for it. This is what we found out at the auction. I was with Jimmy and we were looking around. It's just, 27,000 is not in this room. It's not in this room. And the Lord showed us, oh yes it is. I have all the money. I have you in my hands. Amen, church? We have so much to be thankful for. We're getting close to Thanksgiving. And every time I get closer to Thanksgiving, I keep reminding myself of what the Lord's done in my life. He's done a lot of amazing things, but most importantly, I'm so thankful that I get to call New Life my home church. I get to worship with each and every one of you, and I pray that you do that as well, that you're excited to get to worship at New Life. It is a cool place. Why is it so cool? Is it cool because the music is cool? It definitely ain't cool because I'm good at preaching. It's cool because we see the Lord move every day. We see the Lord move every day. And the more that you're a part of this church, the more you're going to see the Lord move. That's something I've realized every day. You start getting your hands in ministry. You start getting your hands in what the Lord calls you to do. You'll see a move every day. Maybe you've experienced that in your own life. When you say, Lord, I'll do whatever you call me to. And he shows you exactly what he can do. Amen, church. Amen. The Lord is good. There's so much to be thankful for. I want to read this psalm just really quick. Psalms 107, starting in verse 1. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the land of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands of the east and the west and the north and the south. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives embedded away. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, for his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Amen, church. He says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. Oh, wow, is his love unfailing. Wow, does his love endure forever. And oh, wow, is his wonderful deeds to mankind. Think about this for a moment. What he's done through Jesus Christ for you and your life, that you were once dead in your sins and Christ made you alive in Jesus Christ. This is what we're going to talk about this morning, that you were dead in your transgressions and Christ made you alive. This is an impossible thing, church. It's an impossible thing that the Lord has forgiven all of your sins. It doesn't make any sense. We were wretched. We deserve the wrath of God. But what did he do? He lifted us up through Jesus Christ and given us a place in heaven. We're almost home, church. This is is the things we sang. Be thankful in your life that you serve the wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, because you didn't deserve it. But oh wow, does He so often give us what we don't deserve. Amen, church? Amen. We have so much to be thankful, too numerous to count. Too numerous to count. I can't think of all the things that the Lord has done. I've missed the things the Lord has done. And I know you have missed the things the Lord has done in your life. And see, there are many people that go through this life with their head held down. Downcast. Believers. Downcast. Saddened. Held down. Defeated. Feeling defeated in their life. So let me ask you, church. Are you thankful today? Are you overflowing with thankfulness? Are you happy that you serve Jesus Christ? See, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We'll skip around a few places, but in the book of Colossians. I won't make you jump everywhere in the Bible. But we're going to be in Colossians. Sometimes I'll do that, but Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. I just want to give you a little bit of context. Paul is writing to this church, these Colossians, and he's letting them know who Christ is. He's also rebuking false teachings that are in the church. What are some of those false teachings? One of them is Jesus isn't really God. Jesus is just half a God. Or Jesus never lived in bodily form. He was just a spirit. Can I tell you, church, that Jesus came as a man? Died as a man, raised. He's not just a spirit. He's not just a good teacher. He's the Lord. He is God. Another false teaching that was in this church, and it was going around not in just this church, but a lot of the churches, is that you had to do all these Jewish things, Jewish traditions, part of the old covenant. You had to be circumcised. You had to do all these festivals. You had to eat certain foods. And Paul's letting this church know that you don't have to do those things. Jesus has fulfilled the law. Amen, church? We're no longer a part of the old covenant. We're a part of the new covenant. And amen for that. Amen. He's rebuking this false teaching. But more importantly, like I said, he's letting them know who the Lord is. He's letting them know who God is. And he wants to be with this church so badly. And we see this thing if you continue to read in the book of Colossians. But in chapter 2, starting in verse 6. I could probably just preach these two verses because they're so powerful. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6 says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." I'll read it again. Pay attention, church. "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." What is Paul telling to the Colossians here? He says, don't stop living for Jesus Christ. As he says here, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. There's too many Christians who get saved and they continue to live like the world. How much joy and peace can you have living a life of sin when you're found in Jesus Christ? And Paul here is telling the Colossians church that you need to live in Him just as you've received Him. And what does he say? He says, rooted and built up in Him. See, we have to be rooted in Jesus Christ. Many of you know this, but why are we not living like this? Why are we not being rooted in Jesus Christ? Well, why do you need to be rooted in Jesus Christ? So you don't fall. Just as a tree grows, it has to have deep roots, because when the wind comes, oh wow, will it fall if it has shallow roots? We have to be rooted in who? In Jesus Christ. Because when we're rooted in Jesus Christ and we're rooted deeply, we will not fall when the attacks of Satan, when the attacks of the world, will withstand those attacks. We'll be strong, all those different things. And why do we need to withstand? Because suffering and pain will come into your life and you'll fall if you're not rooted in Jesus Christ. You'll fall if you're not rooted in Jesus Christ. And when Satan comes, because he loves to attack believers, if you're not rooted in Jesus Christ, you will fall. You're not as strong as you think you are. This is something I've realized in my life, that when I am not being rooted in Jesus Christ and Satan comes to attack me, I fall. Because I'm not as strong as I think I am, because the power doesn't come from myself, it comes from Christ. Amen, church? Amen. Do not stop living for Jesus Christ. Do not stop living for Christ. It's so important in your life. And listen to me, why should we be built up? Built up in Him. You know we're supposed to, as believers, build each other up. But why do we build each other up? To be built up in Him, in Christ, so that we can be strong in the faith. We need to be strong believers, that strong tree. We need to not be movable, but most importantly, we must bear fruit in our life. Why do we need to bear fruit? Because it looks really good? No, because other people need the fruit in your life. Other people need to pluck off the fruit, to need to taste the awesome grace of Jesus Christ. Do you know that you might be the only person somebody sees to resemble, to reflect Jesus Christ in their life? Maybe they'll never pick up a Bible. You're the only person that's going to be able to share the gospel with them. You're the only person. So are you being rooted and built up in your walk with Christ? And there's a common theme, obviously. We keep saying it over and over. There's a common theme just in these two verses that keep saying, in Him, in Him, in Him. Something Paul understood and he's trying to get across to this Colossians church is you cannot do anything outside of Jesus Christ. You can't be strong. You can't be powerful. You can't be rooted. You can't be built up. You can't be encouraged. You can't have joy. You can't have peace. You can't have mercy. You can't have grace. The overflowing grace, except in Him, except in Jesus Christ. In John 15:5 is an awesome verse. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And then he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus understood that apart from Him, you can't do anything. We can't raise $27,000 except through Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Amen. We need to be rooted and built up, overflowing with thankfulness. This is what he says at the end of verse 7. He says, overflowing with thankfulness. A believer must be overflowing with thankfulness. Why is the overflowing so important in this verse, in this passage, in that phrase? Because we want others to see your thankfulness. You want to be so thankful that you can't keep quiet about your thankfulness. So many believers in this life will go around and will sit around the Thanksgiving table and will never praise the Lord for what He's done in our life. We're not overflowing with thankfulness when we're not sharing the awesome deeds, the awesome work that God has done in the church, in the ministries, in your own life. We're not overflowing with thankfulness. So I want you to think about this overflowing with thankfulness as we continue to read on. And I want you to ask yourself the question, am I really overflowing? Am I really overflowing with thankfulness for what Christ has done in my life? Many believers aren't. Not, I don't think what Paul's describing here, they're not. We can praise the Lord in the church. I pray that we can praise Him in this church. But oh, so much more do I pray that we can praise Him outside of these walls. We can thank Him for what He's done. Because I pray that everyone in here, I know there's some that might not. I pray everyone in here has a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I know for sure that the people out there don't. And they wonder, why would I want to be a part of the body of Christ with people who don't thank Christ, who don't overflow with thankfulness? So think about that for just as we continue to read on. In verse 9, Paul is here showing the Colossian church why they need to be thankful. Throughout the whole rest of this book, he really is describing why we should be thankful for Christ in our life. In verse 9, it says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. See here, like I told you about those false teachings here, Paul right here is talking about Christ is the fullness of the deity. What's he saying? Christ is God. Jesus is God. So why should you be thankful, church? Because Jesus is God. He's the king. What does it say here? He's the head over every power and authority. Who's he the head over? He's the head over you and I. He's the head over America. He's the head over the Roman government. He's the head over the principalities. He's head over the demons, Satan, the angels. His authority is above all those things. He's not an angel, but he is God. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of earth. Amen, church? Amen. Jesus is God. Why should we be thankful? Because Jesus is the Lord. It's so important. Jesus is God, because if He's not God, He doesn't have the ability to save you. But because He is God, He has all authority and power to forgive sins, to cleanse you. That's why His blood is so precious, because when He shed His blood for you and I, it actually does something. It actually cleanses our sin and washes us white as snow. Amen, church? Amen. Let's be excited in the house this morning. And most importantly, he says in verse 10, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Why should you be thankful? Because you've been brought to fullness. What does that mean? It means you've been made complete. You've been fully satisfied. You can't find that in the world. You can't be complete. You can't be fully satisfied in the world. And there's a lot of empty people in this life. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians living empty lives. Not being complete. Fully satisfied. Brought to fullness. In Christ, this is amazing, church. We have been brought to complete fullness. Completely satisfied. You don't have to look for satisfaction in this world because it only is found in Christ. Amen, church? You can look a lot in your life, and people do. They search all their life. A lot of New Age stuff. They'll look to the stars. They'll look to the moon. They'll look to mediums. They'll look to witchcraft. They'll look to mom. They'll look to dad. They'll look to family members. Whatever that looks like for you and your life. But let me promise you something. You'll not be fully satisfied unless you come to the King. Unless you come to Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, you know it. Amen? You know it. If you've come to Christ and you let Him fill you up, you know that I've never been satisfied like this in my life. I've never been made complete like this in my life. Maybe I thought I was complete. Maybe I thought I was fully satisfied. But when you come to Christ, you realize I was empty. I didn't have anything. And apart from Christ, you don't have anything. I want that to sink in this morning. That apart from Christ, you are empty. But with Christ, you are full. You have all you need in this life. All you'll ever need in this life. Verse 11, it says, in Him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. But the whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. Amen, church? Why should you be thankful? Because we're no longer under the old covenant. This is what Paul is trying to make sure that the Colossian church understands. Is the people that are telling you to be circumcised, they're wrong. They're adding to the gospel. They're adding to Jesus Christ. You no longer have to be circumcised. You no longer have to eat these things or don't eat these things or whatever that looks like, because Christ has fulfilled the law. All those things, the circumcision, pointed to Christ. And Christ has fulfilled it. We are no longer circumcised by our flesh, but rather circumcised in our heart. Christ has come in and circumcised our heart. He's completely made it new. The old is gone and the new is here. Amen, church? Amen. He's completely made it new. And I love this, where it says here, it says, having been buried with Him in baptism, you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Amen, church. It says you were buried in baptism. You were buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him, just as He was also raised by the working of God. We love to say here, when we baptize somebody, if you're ever here, we say, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Oh, wow, is that a promise to those who believe that we are buried in our death, buried in our baptism, but because of the awesome glory of Jesus Christ, as He was raised, we're promised that we're also will be raised. Amen, church? Amen. We're raised with Him, and our old self, the filth and the sin and all the evil, is put off. I love that word there. It says, it's put off. It's gone. It's thrown away. Christ has thrown away your old self. You're no longer the same as you once were, but rather He's made you new. He's clothed you with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And oh, wow, I love these next verses. Listen to them with me, church. These are beautiful, beautiful verses. In verse 13, it says, when you were dead in your sins, in your uncircumcision of having of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us, condemned us, and taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he's made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen, church? Amen. Why should you overflow with thankfulness? Because you were once dead, and God made you alive in Jesus Christ. That is impossible. It is impossible for you to sit here today with Jesus Christ in your heart, and you were once dead. You were once headed to hell. You were once dead in your sins, and Christ made you alive in Jesus Christ. And this one little, in these six words right here, it says, he forgave us all our sins. Not just some of our sins, not just a little bit of our sins, but all of our sins. Amen? Is God not good, church? Is God not worthy to be thankful to? Is he not worthy to be praised? Amen? Phil Fisher did a message on Wednesday, if you missed it. It was an awesome message, wonderful message. In Psalms 103, it's beautiful, beautiful psalm. And he talked about how God's goodness, how we have all these benefits in God, but there's a beautiful, beautiful few verses in Psalms 103. Listen, in verse 2, it says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? In verse 10, it says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Amen, church? Amen. Is he not so good to forgive our sins and all of our diseases? Oh, wow, is he so wonderful. And he says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. You deserve to go to prison. You deserve to go to hell for the sins you've committed. But he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or our iniquities. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed all our transgressions from us. God has taken your sins and chucked them as far as the east is from the west. And he remembers them no more. He doesn't hold them against you. He doesn't throw them in our face. Wow, is he so good. Amen, church? Amen. His love is overflowing. And I love to say this verse because it's the verse I cling to most of my life. Romans 5:8, it says, God demonstrates his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why should we not be thankful, church? Why should we not be thankful in this life? For you were once dead and now made alive in Jesus Christ. What an amazing God. And let me put this in perspective for all of us this morning. That we had this huge list of crimes. What's on this list? Adultery, sexual immorality, lying, thievery, envy, hatred, bitterness. We all could write a huge list of crimes on this. And what did he do? He took that list and he nailed it to the cross. He nailed it to the cross, a fine too big for us to pay. What does it say? Forgave us of all our sins and canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. You're standing in court. You got a life sentence. You got a life sentence coming your way. It's not looking good. You got a huge fine. You can't pay it. You're going to prison. You're going to jail. But Christ stands up in our defense. I'll pay it. I'll pay it. How did he pay it? We're supposed to be nailed to that cross, church. But he said, I'll go. He stood in our place, our substitute. We deserve the wrath of God. But Jesus took it for us. Church, Jesus took it for us. You deserve to be on the cross. He stood up in our defense and he paid for our crimes. He took our sins, our debt, nailed it to the cross. What a price he paid. Why should we be overflowing with thankfulness? Because Jesus stood in our place. Jesus was hung in our place. And then what did he say? It is finished. Wow, what a powerful thing. Hung on the cross, bleeding and dying for you and I. And he cries out, it is finished. Church, start living like it's finished. Stop going back to the sin in your life. Why can't you be thankful? Maybe because you still have sin in your life. It is hard to be thankful when you're living in sin. There's guilt and shame because you know you're not supposed to be living like that. So it's pretty hard to be like, Lord, I praise you even though I'm living this way. It's difficult. Start living like it's finished. Run, flee from sin in your life, and maybe you'll be able to really overflow with thankfulness in your life. Amen, church? Amen. He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to overflow with thankfulness. Chapter 3, verse 1. We're going through a few verses. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear also with him in glory. Amen, church. Why should you be thankful? Because this earth is no longer your home. This is what he's saying here to the Colossian church. He says, set your minds on things above because you're not of this earth anymore. You're of heaven. You're heaven bound. Amen, church. Amen. We sing the song. We're almost home. This isn't our home, but our home is with our Father in heaven. It's with God because we've been reconciled to Him. We set our minds on things above because Christ is our life. This is what He's saying. It says, Christ, who is your life, appears. Then you will also appear with Him in glory. When Christ, who is your life, is you your life, church, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Christ is our life. He's our everything. Why? Because He paid it all. And all to Him I owe. Beautiful, beautiful song. But oh wow, so truthful. Jesus paid it all. And all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and He's washed it white as snow. Wow. Wow. So much to be thankful for. In church, like it says here, when Christ appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. That's a promise. This isn't a wishful hope. If you're here today and you're saying, I hope I get to heaven, can I promise you today you can make sure? Today you can make sure you're going to go to heaven. It's not a wishful hope. Why? Because Christ is our hope. He is our hope. It's a hope of assurance, knowing that when He comes back, He's coming back for His children. When He comes back, we'll appear with Him in glory. We were once hell bound, but because of Christ, we're heaven bound. Amen, church? Amen. 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 John 14:3 says, Jesus says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, and that you also may be where I am. In Philippians 3:20, Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We await Jesus Christ because we have Him in our life, because of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. He says, when I'm coming back, I'm coming for you. We're heaven bound, church. We're heaven bound, but it's only found in Christ. For no one gets to the Father but through Him, but through Christ. Oh, wow, and His word is so true. It is so righteous, so holy, so life-giving, that the Lord would tell you, a sinner, come home. Come home. What a glorious day that will be, amen, church? When Jesus calls us home. In the awesomeness of all this, that I know you have some people that have passed on, that have loved the Lord. The promise is for them just as much as it is for us. They're with Jesus. They're with God. And when you come in to glory, you see those that have passed before us, that have fallen asleep before us. Grandma, grandpa, whoever's there, you get to see them again. That is a wonderful hope. This is why a lot of people at funerals, those who follow Christ, it is mourning. We mourn. We didn't want to see him go too soon. But oh, wow. It is more like a celebration. Amen, church? That you know, I'm going to see him again. I'm going to see him again. You can only do that in Christ. Amen? Amen. Verse 15. Like I said, Paul here is talking to the Colossian church and he's letting them know to be thankful. Why? Why should they be so thankful? Verse 15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Amen. Paul here is telling the Colossian church to be thankful. He says, and be thankful. And he says, let the message of God richly dwell in your heart. Well, what is this message? It's exactly what we've just talked about. Jesus is God. He's the King over all creation. And we were once dead in our sins, but Christ made us alive through him dying on the cross. And he was raised after 3 days. And then Christ, when he comes back, he'll call you home. That is the message of Jesus Christ, the simple message of Jesus Christ. Let it richly dwell in your heart. Because can I tell you, church, it's a lot easier to be thankful in your life when you let that message dwell in your heart. You can go through a lot of hard things in your life, but if that message richly dwells in your heart, it is a lot easier to be thankful. It's a lot easier to praise God. Because you know it's not built on temporary things. It's not built on finances. It's not built on whether my family is in good order. It's not built on whether I have enough possessions or enough materials in my life. It's not built on any of that. But it's built on what God has done for us. That's how we can be thankful in times of suffering and pain in our life. Because we remember what Christ has done for us. This is what Paul is telling them when he says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you do in your life, give thanks. Do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. And give thanks that you get to do those things. Be thankful, church. Let gratitude dwell in your heart. Let gratitude pour out from your heart so other people can hear it. Share the message of Christ. Those that have the message of Christ that richly dwells in them share the message of Christ. It overflows from them. They can't help. They can't help but talk about it. It's the greatest message anyone's ever heard. Is it not the greatest message you've ever heard? Amen. It's the greatest message anyone has ever heard. And let me tell you, church, a Christian that overflows with thankfulness produces joy in their life. They produce this awesome joy, this joy that doesn't make any sense to the world. A Christian that overflows with thankfulness produces peace in their life. They produce this peace. Why? Because they have peace with God. And a Christian that overflows with thankfulness perseveres. When a person that overflows with thankfulness in their life, they get through the hardest of times. Do you cry at times? Or do you get upset at times? Of course you will. You're going to mourn. You're going to be saddened. But you always remember the one thing that holds you together. It's Christ. It's Christ. So why should you be thankful, church? Because you have no reason not to be. Amen? Amen. Why should you be thankful? Because you have no reason not to be. Christ has made you alive and adopted you into the family of God. Blows my mind every time. Adopted you into the family of God and given you an inheritance in heaven. You don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. But he's freely given it. With his blood, He's freely given us the gift of eternal life. There's no reason not to be thankful in your life. A lot of empty people. Maybe you know some. Maybe you are one. A lot of empty people in this life. Do you know that your thankfulness might be the one thing that leads them to the foot of the cross? Think about this. Sometimes we don't think thankfulness has like any application outside of just thanking God. But sometimes you thanking God and lifting your hands up to God and praising God might be the one thing that leads someone to the foot of the cross. Might be the one thing that leads them to everlasting life. It's so amazing that God lets us work in the way that He does. Uses weak vessels to show His strength. So amazing. So let me ask you, church. Are you overflowing with thankfulness in your life? This is kind of repetitive, but I hope when we leave here this morning and we sit around the Thanksgiving table, can I ask you, don't make it about yourselves. Don't make it about eating, even though I'm sure some of you are going to have some good food. It's hard sometimes not to make it about the turkey or the rolls or the mashed potatoes or the deviled eggs, right? Don't make it about that. And I'm going to be bold, church. Don't even make it about your family. Don't make it about the football game. Don't make it about your traditions. Nothing wrong with some traditions. Make it about the one who's given you life. Amen? Make it about the one who's made you alive. Because if your family's anything like mine, there's people that sit around my Thanksgiving table who don't know Christ, who don't know the Lord, maybe empty, unsatisfied, longing to fill the void in their life. You know the answer to the void in our life. Share that message with them. Be thankful, church, because there's a lot of dead, empty people who need Christ. So I'll ask you one more time. Are you overflowing with thankfulness? Let's stand, church.